Welcome to the Victor Orlando Podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Well, what's up, Victory? Thank you so much for joining us here at Church Online today. My name is Pastor Chris. I'm the pastor here at Victory, and I'm coming to you today from my home all the way to your home. My daughter tested positive this week, and so we're staying safe here at home. Me and my wife both got tested, and we came out negative, but she was positive, and she's doing good. We've had no fevers and just very mild symptoms, and so we are thankful. We are praising God and continuing to believe for a miracle of healing in her body with the start of school and all those things coming back up. So thank you so much for your prayers. I'm so thankful that no matter where we are, we could be connected here in God's body through Church Online. So thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being a vital part of the Victory Orlando family. And I just want you to know that I love you. I've been praying for you. I'm believing God that your best days are right in front of you. And so I want to share this message with you that God has put on my heart. I believe it's going to be powerful as we continue to talk about power-packed prayer. So why don't we just take a moment and pause and ask God to speak to us today. Lord, I thank you right now that you're moving in this place. Wherever we are, God, I thank you, you are right there with us. So speak to us today, God. Let your word come alive inside of us. Let it take root in our hearts and produce fruit because we are good ground. And if you agree, let me hear you shout amen. Well, what I want to do today is continue in our series that we started last week called Power Packed Prayers. Just wherever you are, how many of y'all would say, I want my prayers to be more powerful? I want to hear God speaking to me. I don't know about you, but that has been my desires. I want to see more spiritual power released through my prayers. That's why I love the verse in James chapter 5 in verse 16. It says this. It says, for tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a believer. So, man, what I did last week was I challenged each and every one of us to take the next 7 days and pray every day. Set aside some period of time where you could pray, spend time alone with God. And man, I hope you've joined us. It has been an awesome week. And I want to actually extend that challenge. Let's go another 7 days. Let's not just end it with those, but let's continue this. Let's go from today until next Sunday, praying every day. And listen, we got to have some rules because I don't want you to beat yourself up. If you miss one day, it's okay. Just don't miss two. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get back on track. We're not trying to be perfect, but we are trying to draw closer to God. We're trying to get to that place where James talks about, where he says there's tremendous spiritual power that's released. I think that's why our spiritual enemy, the devil, has worked overtime to try to convince Christians not to pray. Oh, you don't do it right. You don't know enough to pray. Somebody more spiritual than you ought to pray. And God's kind of busy. He probably doesn't have time for your prayers. Or he'll just try to get us busy or distracted or discouraged or whatever else so that we don't pray. Because the devil understands the scripture more than a lot of Christians do, that there is tremendous spiritual power that is released when you pray big, bold, bet the farm, risk-taking prayers. Come on. The devil is scared out of his mind of a Christian who will pray passionately and heartfelt, man, because he understands there's tremendous spiritual power that's released. So we've been praying this way, and I hope that it's been a powerful week, and we're going to continue to pray this way. What we need to understand is that power-packed prayers are not just getting what we want immediately all the time when we pray. God is not a genie. He's not a slot machine, and neither is prayer. Prayer is communication. Power-packed prayers are never safe prayers. They're never lame. They're never lacking flavor. I don't know if you've ever had food like that before that was lacking flavor. You know, please don't nudge the person that cooks in your house. I don't want you to get in trouble. Keep those eyes locked on the screen, those elbows. Just don't do anything right now. You know, like, if you've ever had a meal that's lacking flavor, it needs salt, it needs spices. And I believe that's how our prayer life is. Sometimes our prayers need spice. They need boldness. They need power. I know too much of my life, my prayers were lame. Anybody relate to that? My prayers were boring. They were bland. There was no zeal. There was no passion. It was, God, be with me today. Help me today. God, would you keep me safe? Would you make sure I have what I need? My prayers were self-focused. They were boring. They required no faith, right? And I believe that power-packed prayers are not safe. They're full of faith. Power-packed prayers are rarely self-centered. But power-packed prayers are all about not praying just what we want, but praying that God's will would be accomplished, that God would have his way in us and through us. You know, I would say this, is that you don't have to beg and plead with God to do something he already said he would do. So often our prayers are safe. We're kind of lame because we're just kind of hoping and wishing, God, keep me safe today. Please make sure nothing bad happens to my kids and my spouse. God, would you please make sure and help me in my finances and help me at work just so my life is good. And listen, God has already promised in his word that he would be with you, that he would provide for you. He said, I'll give my angels charge over you to keep you safe. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to come to God and be like, God, please, would you? No, he already said he would. And that is his promise. That's why he gave us his word, so that we would know what he said he would do for us. So we can come before God in prayer in boldness. And instead of just begging and asking him, what if we begin to come to God and just thank him for what he's done? God, thank you that you're going to be with me everywhere that I go. You said you would never leave me or forsake me. So God, I thank you. God, even in those moments where I don't know what to say, you said you would freely give wisdom to those who ask. So God, I thank you. You give me your wisdom today. God, I thank you. Your angels are surrounding my spouse. They're surrounding my children today, keeping them safe, that no evil would come near them, that no disease would be able to come near them. But you take sickness and disease out of our midst. We can begin to pray with boldness that way, thanking God for what he's done for us and for what he said he would do. We don't have to beg him and plead him because he promised that he would do it. Right? So, man, and if I would just say this too, if you really want to kick your prayers up a notch, well, we put some power behind those prayers of thanking God for what he said he would do. But if you want to get an extra level, you want to kick it up another notch, begin to act out, begin to live like you believe what you just prayed. If you really believe that God is going to meet all of your needs, then what if you just began to give regularly? You begin to bring your tithes into the storehouse and give over and above your tithes because you know God got you. He's going to provide for you. We begin to honor God with our calendar and our time and our energies. We begin to put some faith into our actions for what we're believing God for in our lives. Man, that's a powerful prayer in that place. We're learning to pray power-packed prayers. I want us to go from maybe not being sure about prayers to just taking the next step. Just begin to pray every day this week. 7 days this week, begin to pray and to see what God can do. I want to give us a prayer that we can pray this week. One that I believe is super powerful and can really transform our lives is this, is God, speak to me. That's the message today. God, speak to me. How many of y'all say, I would like to have God speaking to me in my life? I would like to hear God's voice and know it was his voice. Yeah, so many people want to hear God speaking. They want to know God's will. God, what is your purpose for my life? They want to hear and know God's voice. The good news is that you and I, we can learn to hear God's voice. God is a speaking God. He's speaking to us all the time. The question isn't, is God speaking? The question is, are we listening? Am I hearing what God is saying to me? And so I want to talk about this today. How can we hear the voice of God more through prayer? If you've got your Bibles or maybe the free YouVersion Bible app like I've got here on my iPad, you can turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting in verse 1. While you're turning there, let me give you a little background to set the stage of the story. Samuel is a little boy. Imagine about 8 to 10 years old in that range, 4th or 5th grade age boy, right? He's a young boy and he's living in the temple serving God. And what happened was that his mom wasn't able to have children, and so she prayed and said, God, if you'll give me a son, I'll raise him and I'll dedicate his whole life to serve you. God heard her prayer, much like he hears your and I prayer, and he answered her prayer and gave Hannah a little boy. And Hannah kept her promise to God. She raised that little boy until he was old enough and then brought him to the temple and gave him to the service of the Lord. And so Samuel lived in the temple where the high priest was. His name was Eli, and he served the Lord there while serving Eli. But the problem was that Eli was not following the Lord. He had turned his heart away from God and had led the people away from God. He was sinning. He wasn't managing his family well. He wasn't leading well in the role that God had given him. That's where we pick up the story. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. That's the part where we see Samuel living in the temple, serving the Lord with Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel." Right? Ring, ring. Who is it? "Yes, Lord, I've been expecting your call." Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down again. And again, the Lord called, "Samuel." Now, I imagine the voice of the Lord sounding comforting and soothing, you know, a little manly even, much like what you're listening to right now. You know, the voice of the Lord, it must have sounded somewhat familiar to Samuel, because he's hearing a voice and thinking somebody was calling him. And it's this voice of the Lord that's soothing and comforting and peaceful. And he's calling out. But just for dramatic effect, I've been saying it this way: "Samuel." We'll just imagine that's what it is. Maybe it didn't sound like that. I don't know. Again, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" It's a powerful prayer. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Here's this little boy praying this really power-packed prayers. "Speak to me, God. I want to hear your voice. What is it you want to say to me, God?" I don't know about you, but that's my prayer. That's from my life, for my wife, for my daughter, for you, Victory. That's my prayer for you, is that God would speak to you, that you would hear and know his voice. Now, you know, when God spoke to Samuel, the next part of the story, he gave him a message, but it wasn't something that was easy to hear. It wasn't even something all that encouraging. Before I tell you what the message was, I want to just take a quick Bible trivia break. Anybody ever played Bible trivia? I played it all the time growing up in children's church and kids' camp. We always played Bible trivia. So now it's your turn. For an extra 500 points and a bonus room on your heavenly mansion, how many times in the Bible, when God gave someone an assignment, was the assignment easy? I'm just going to give you the answer. It's an open book test. The answer is zero. There's no stories you'll find in the Bible of God calling someone, giving them an assignment, telling them to do something where it was just, "Oh, that's no problem. No problemo, God. You know, I could do that. No problem." It was never easy. It was always stretching. It always required faith. It always cost something from them, where they had to get up and go where God was leading them. Think about Abram for just a moment. When God said, "Abraham, I want you to get up, leave your family behind, take what you have, and go to a place place, I'll tell you where that place is when you're on the way. Think about Moses for just a moment. He escapes from Egypt with his life, right? And God calls him in the desert and says, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt, the place they want to kill you, and lead my people to freedom. What about Jonah, right? God said, Jonah, I want you to go and I want you to preach the gospel, repent or die, to the most violent, most wicked city on the earth. Jonah would be like, no problem, God. Jonah didn't say that. He went the other way, right? What about in the New Testament? What about Mary, the mother of Jesus? When the angel appeared and said, yo, Mary, guess what? God has an assignment for you. I know you're an unmarried virgin, but you're going to have a baby. He's going to be the Son of God. And Mary must have been like, no problem. I got this. This is going to be easy. Hashtag blessed. Hashtag mother of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? No, it wasn't easy. What about Joseph? Hey, Joe, I want you to marry this pregnant teenager, and everyone's going to whisper and talk about you, and he's not your baby. It's the baby that is the Son of God, but I want you to raise him as your own. Like, every time throughout Scripture when God would call somebody, it was never an easy assignment. And the same is true. When we pray this powerful prayer, God, speak to me, you got to know, you got to understand, God will speak to you. But when he does, he's going to lead you. He's going to direct you. And it's always going to stretch you. It might make you a little uncomfortable. It might require more faith than you currently have in your life. But here's the good news. You can do it. God has given you the measure of faith that you needed. He's given you everything you need to live this life and to live it in a way that pleases him. When God calls us, it's always gonna stretch our faith. Speak to me, Lord, I'm listening. It's a powerful prayer to pray. I know it might seem impossible when God speaks. It might seem difficult, but you can do it. And I'll tell you this, the side effect, when God speaks to you and you begin to do this impossible thing he's called you to do, it will always cause you to live in more dependence upon God. I know, because in my own life, when God called me and my wife Heather to move here to Orlando with our founding pastors, Caleb and Sarah, to help start this church, man, it required something of us. We were living good in Tulsa. Things were going great. We'd been through some really rough times, and man, things had finally started to turn around for us. I had a great job making more money than I ever had in my life. We had developed some really close and really godly friendships with people, and we were serving in the church. Man, things were going good. We were comfortable. Things were good, you know? And then God called us. He said, I want you to move to Orlando. I want you to help start this church. And when we began to explore what that would look like, it looked like there was no job waiting for me. There was no house that we could afford that we were able to find, no school that we felt comfortable putting our daughter in a new city. Just every door seemed to be closed, but we knew God had called us, and we were in this moment where we could stretch our faith and go where God had called us to do, or we could stay in the comfort and we could scale back and just always kind of stay in this place. And yes, we would have gone to heaven. God still would have loved us, but we would have missed out on what God had for us. Man, I'm so thankful that God spoke to us through people and reminded us to stretch your faith. You can do it. And we did it. We continued to take steps of faith. It wasn't always easy. It was stretching. We didn't always know or see the answer, but we continued to believe that God said he would do what he would do, that he would be with us, that he would provide for us and keep us safe. And man, I'm so thankful that we did, because I get the privilege to be here with you today. We get to be here together. We are changing the world because, man, we didn't stay comfortable. Come on, we're part of this dream together. Samuel prays, speak, God, I'm listening. And what God said to Samuel was, Samuel, I know you're a little boy, but Eli, he's turned his heart away from me. He's not leading the people back to the Lord. He's leading them away from me, and I'm going to judge him. I'm going to judge his family and his house. I'm going to judge the nation. And I'm trusting you, Samuel, little boy, to take this message and share it with those. Man, can you imagine being Samuel in that moment, wanting to honor the man of God, wanting to honor Eli and show him respect? And here God says, I want you to go tell him that he's about to be judged and his house is about to be judged and the nation of Israel was about to be judged. There was some weight. There was a burden that was carried. I can't imagine that being an easy request. It required a stretching of Samuel's faith to deliver that message. But man, what God did through Samuel was turn an entire nation back to God. Maybe you're wondering today, okay, Pastor, I'm in. I want God speaking to me. I want to hear his voice. How do I do that? That's a great question. Thanks for asking. I want to give us three keys today that I think are vital if we really want to begin to hear the voice of the Lord more through prayer. So if you're taking notes, hopefully you write these down. They're really simple. The first one is this. If we want to hear the voice of the Lord more, we need to be still. Be still. And I put this one first because honestly, it's one of the hardest things for me to be still. Just to sit in God's presence, right? Psalms 46:10 says it this way. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Notice it doesn't say be frantic and know that I'm God. Be super busy and know that I am. Know that I'm God on the go with your Starbucks in hand. No, he says, be still. Stop. Pause. Be still and know that I am God. I mean, sometimes just even that word still, that phrase be still, is kind of like, it's a little unsettling, isn't it? Because then for me, you know, all the thoughts start coming the way my personality is, all the things on my plate, the things I'm responsible for to get done and to move forward, and just all the thoughts and the distractions and the this and the that and the that and the thing and the whatever, you know, it's like, be still. But like when I come home, like my daughter wants to spend time with me, my wife wants to spend time with me, and you want me to be still? Like, I've got things to do around the house. I've got the long commute. You're talking about be still? And besides, the big game is on tonight, and I got to have me time to relax. It can seem so overwhelming, this be still, but I can tell you this. No one can convince you of this until you just experience it for yourself. Until you press through the hard of pushing out the distractions, of setting the time aside, of focusing our mind, focusing our heart, and just being still and quieting all the noise and being still in God's presence. Man, I know it's hard. But I know in my own life, when I do that, when I press through those hard places and get in the presence of God, man, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like being in the presence of your Heavenly Father who loves you extravagantly. Man, and you just, I could tell you about it, but that's just words. You just need to be able to experience it for yourself. That's my prayer for you this week, that you would find some time, however long it is, to be still and know that he is God. Just to be still in his presence. Silence the voices. Maybe it's not just silent mode on your phone. Maybe you got to turn your phone all the way off and put it in another room. Whatever it takes, find a way to be still and experience his presence this week. Be still and know that he is God. Could it be that our schedules and our desires are so out of control because we haven't stopped to honor God with our schedules and with our desires, that we've prioritized everything else above being with him and being in his presence? Let me ask you this. When was the last time you spent an hour or a period of time binge watching a show on Amazon or Hulu or Netflix or Disney Plus? I love watching those shows, or being on social media and scrolling, and then you look up and it's like, how has it been an hour? I was just watching a few reels or whatever it is. You know, maybe it's on your favorite hobby. I love to play golf and that takes a significant amount of time. Whatever it is where you find yourself spending a significant amount of time, listen, I believe God gave us this life. He wants us to enjoy it. He's not saying don't enjoy those things, but when was the last time we stopped and we spent an hour just in the presence of God, being still before him, worshiping him, just loving him and enjoying what he has for us? Come on, it's time for us to begin to evaluate our lives and where we're at. If we really want to begin to hear the voice of God like we say we do, we got to learn to be still and sit in his presence. I know Heather and I were talking about this recently because it's something God has been bringing us back into. And it's the fight, you know, getting through those hard things of setting the time aside. And then, you know, as soon as you get in that place, what's going to happen is that thoughts are going to start popping in your head. Worries, fears of the future, what I got to do today, all the to-dos, all those things. But listen, it seems like such a fight, but when you fight through that, press through the hard, and you get to the other side, man, God has so much goodness for you. What he wants to do in you, what he wants to do through you. He has so much he's going to speak to your spirit. That's my prayer for you this week, so you would experience God's presence that way, just being still. There's nothing like it. Remember, at its most basic form, prayer is communicating with God. It's a two-way conversation. Now, that means that prayer is not just me dumping on God, telling him everything I want him to do and when I want him to do it. No, it's two ways. It's me talking, and then it's me being quiet and me listening to him talk. Imagine if all you did in your marriage or a friendship was talk, and you never stopped to listen. You wouldn't have a very good relationship. You got a relationship requires communication of speaking and listening. And it's the same with God, right? I wonder, you know, when we come to God and we're telling him what we want him to do in our timeline of when we want him to do it, I wonder if he's ever frustrated a little bit and like, hey, hold up. I love you. I want to tell you some things, and I have so much good for you. You're my son, you're my daughter, and I want to speak to you. So why don't you pause for a minute and let me respond to all the things that you're saying. Sometimes I think if we would just be silent, we would hear God speaking. Samuel heard the audible voice of God many times. People are like, well, I don't hear God speaking. Am I going to hear an audible voice? And to that, I would say, you might. Now, in my life, I have not heard the audible voice of God, but I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, I've heard God speak to me. It just hasn't been in that audible voice. See, God speaks in different ways to his kids, you know? So don't get in this comparison, well, they must be more spiritual because God's speaking to them this way. No. God speaks to his kids in different ways. It's much like how we communicate with each other differently. I don't know if you have those friends. You have the one friend who loves to text. Come on. Then you have the other friend who just likes to pick up they're calling you all the time. And you're like, would you just send me a text message? You have that other friend, you know, who's on Messenger. And then you have that one friend who every time they reach out to you, it's that FaceTime call. And you're like, I'll text you. You know, we're communicating with each other in different ways. It's not that one is right or wrong or whatever. It's just different ways. And that's how God communicates with us. Here's the good news. You can hear God's voice. I know even as we've been talking about this today, probably the devil is trying to convince you, no, not you. You can't hear God's voice. Yes, you can. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So right there, you know you can hear God's voice. Jesus said it. My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice, and they follow me. And so when you're having doubts or wondering, is God speaking to me? Let those words of Jesus come up outside of you and just thank God. God, thank you that I know you. You know me, and I hear your voice, and I follow you. Right? So couple different ways that God speaks. If you're taking notes, write these ways down this week. One, God speaks through his word. It's the Bible. It's the word of God. God speaks through it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That means the word of God, when we read it, it's not just words on a page, but it literally comes into our lives and it begins to separate between what is the spirit of God and what is not. It speaks to us. It will also teach us and correct us and all those things. Let me show you 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Come on, that's good to know right there. That when we read the word of God, it's actually alive. It's doing something in us. It's teaching us. It's training us. It's correcting us. Why? Because God wants us to be thoroughly equipped, overly equipped, ready to do what he's called us to do and for any obstacles that come our way. I would say this. If you feel like you haven't heard God speaking to you, then it's possible you haven't been spending time in the Word. You haven't been reading the Word. Maybe like, it's the check mark. It's not just the check mark, but just take those few extra minutes to allow it to soak in, to allow God to speak to you. One test that I know when God is speaking to me through his word is I'll be reading something and then all of a sudden, one scripture will pop off the page. I'll be like, wait, where was that? I've never read that before. When that moment happens or something like all of a sudden like stands out to you, stop right there. That's God speaking to you. And just hover right there. Don't worry about, did I read four chapters today? Just stay in that place because God is speaking to you in that scripture, in that moment. And just ask him, God, what are you saying to me in this scripture? And he'll speak to you and reveal his word to you. But God speaks through his word. He also speaks through people. He speaks through messages, and I believe that God is speaking to us right now, even as I'm speaking to you. He speaks through other people in our lives. He might speak to you through a song that someone wrote, or through a close friend. Someone has a word or something they're sharing about. A pastor in my life once told me, the voice of the Holy Spirit often sounds like my wife. Come on. You know it's true. The lady said, oh yeah. You know, but the same is true on the other side, ladies. God can speak through your husband as well. Come on. God speaks through people. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we're waiting for this uber spiritual moment, you know, where the clouds break open and the voice of Morgan Freeman starts speaking, thus saith the Lord. You know, and that would be awesome. But God doesn't always speak like that. Sometimes he speaks through people. Another way God speaks is through circumstances. What I mean is that you're hoping that something really works out, something that you really like, and suddenly a door opens. You've been applying for work or whatever, and then out of nowhere, this door opens, and God is speaking through circumstances. Other times, there's something you've really been hoping or believing for or really just wanting, and then the door closes. Like, it didn't work out. God is speaking to you through circumstances. I know this just happened in my own life as we were in the process of buying a house. We went through 15 offers before we bought the house that we're privileged to buy right now. And, you know, there was one house where, man, we felt like it was God. We walked in the house. It was a little smaller than what we'd been believing for. It didn't have all the things we had asked God for in a house. But, you know, Heather and I looked at each other like, okay, we can make this work. The owners were Christian. They're like, we really feel like this should be your house. And they felt like God was, you know, that God spoke to them, this should be our house. And we're like, this is going to work out. We believe this is our house. And in the end, we didn't get it. It wasn't our house. That door closed so emphatically. And Heather and I, we were a little discouraged. Like, God, I thought this was our place. What's going on? It was a closed door. And I'm so thankful that door closed, because the house that we were able to buy came through the most unexpected way possible. But this house was everything and even more than what we had believed God for. And we're so thankful that God closed the door. Sometimes we just need to be thankful for a door that God closes. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all were dating that door, and God closed that door. Now, 10 years later, you look back and you've seen them on Facebook, and you're like, thank you, God. Someone else walked through that door and not me. You know what I'm saying? And don't be nudging your spouse and be like, well, I didn't walk through that door. No, no, God is with you in the midst of all of it. Come on. God speaks through circumstances. He opens doors and he closes them. And because we're his sons and his daughters, we know his voice and we follow him. He leads us. God also speaks through dreams and visions, right? All throughout scripture, there's examples of God speaking to his children through dreams and visions. I love Joel 2:28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Come on, God speaks to us in dreams and visions in both men and women. Now, that doesn't mean that every dream is from God. Maybe it was that pizza you ate at 3 a.m. But God does speak through dreams and visions. But God also speaks through his spirit. In other words, your spirit can communicate with the Holy Spirit that's in contact with God the Father. When we begin to pray, God, guide me, fill me today, lead me by your Spirit. What begins to happen is you'll begin to have this sensing or prompting. Sometimes people will say, I feel led to do this. I feel prompted to say this. I feel like I can't really explain this, but I feel like I should say this right now. What that is that's the Spirit of God inside of you, leading you, prompting you to say something, to do something. It's much like a radio in your car. You know, you can tune a radio station to any one station at a time. And when you get it tuned in just right, man, that signal comes in clear. But if you get it off 1 degree, then all of a sudden there's a little extra noise, a little fuzz. You gotta listen a little harder. You can't hear the song as well. And man, hearing the voice of God is much like that as well. We've gotta get our spirit tuned in with the Spirit of God to hear him speaking, right? We can be in tune with anything, but we got to get in tune with the Spirit of God so we can hear his voice. Let me say it this way. God's not going to compete with the voice of the Kardashians, the voice of Harry Potter or Hulu or your favorite sports star or your favorite political person or whatever. God is a jealous God, and he's going to speak to those who want to hear his voice and who prepared a place. God speaks in a prepared environment. So if our spirits are in line with him, then he will speak and we will hear his voice. Sometimes people are like, okay, Pastor, that's nice, but how do I know if it's God and not just my own thought or the devil? If you feel led to be generous in a moment or give of something, like, that's probably God. The devil is probably not going to lead you to be generous or to be a blessing to somebody else. If you feel led to go out of your way to encourage somebody, or you go out of your way to, you know, be kind or help that really annoying or difficult person at the office, that's probably the Lord. It's probably not the devil wanting you to help encourage somebody and lift them up. Sometimes we're so overanalyzing the voice of God, where if we just begin to do some of the things we felt like, if this is you, God, okay. I know in my own life, as I've been learning to hear the voice of God more and more, one of the things is that I've been practicing is that when a name comes to my mind or in my spirit, when a name just comes up out of nowhere, I will stop and pray for that person right there. And then I'll send a short text message, hey, I'm thinking about you, praying for you. Doesn't have to be anything major. It's just a short period of my time. And I'm always, always amazed at the response. How did you know? Man, this has been such a rough day. How I really needed that. Thank you for praying for me. Man, I tell you what, it does a whole lot to encourage that other person. But I think it does even more in me to build my faith and know I do hear the voice of God. He is speaking to me. And so I just encourage you, listen for the prompting of the Spirit of God inside of you. So ways that God speaks to us. Number one, we've got to be still. Number two, if we want to hear the voice of God more, is we need to be willing. Be willing to do whatever it is God leads you to do. You got to be willing, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes my prayers just kind of babble. They go on and on. God, this is what I'm about. But what if we just kind of came to God and we said, God, I'm going to clear the stage. Clean sheet of paper, nothing written on it. What do you want to say to me? What do you want to do in me today? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to give? How can I serve? What if we just begin to have this willing heart instead of the requesting heart, saying, God, have your way in me. What do you want to say to me? And then we begin to be quiet and let him say what he wants to say to us. We've got to be willing. It's this crazy, bold willingness to just shut everything else down and say, God, your will, not mine. It's a powerful prayer to pray. What if you apply that in your marriage? Instead of saying, God, would you change my spouse? Would you fix them? God, how can I love and serve my spouse better, right? That's powerful prayer for those who are willing to pray for it. What about those who say, God, would you do something in my life? Would you use my life? Instead of that way, what if we said, God, help me to be, not just want to be in church, but help me to be the church. Where do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to give? How can I use my talents and abilities to glorify you? It's a powerful prayer for those who are wanting to pray. What if instead of saying, God, would you meet all of my needs? I need more and more. So what if we begin to pray, God, help me to be more generous with what I already have. God, I thank you that I can be intentionally and massively generous on every occasion because of how much you've blessed me. It's a powerful prayer, and you'll begin to hear the voice of God speaking to you in great ways if you'll be willing to do what he's called you to do. And here's the last one today. If we want to hear the voice of God, we need to be ready. What do we mean by that? Be ready to do what he spoke to you to do. So often people are praying, I haven't heard the voice of God. And maybe God is saying, well, I spoke to you last month, but you still haven't done what I asked you to do then. We need to start doing what God speaks to us. Be quick to obey. Delayed obedience is disobedience. We got to be ready to do what God has called us to do. Remember, in Scripture, God never gave somebody an assignment that was easy for them. It always required stretching. So yeah, you might feel uncomfortable. It might look impossible. But good news, God is calling you to it. He's going to make sure you have everything you need to accomplish it. You know, maybe God, you'll begin to pray this really powerful prayer of God, speak to me, and he'll begin to reveal something in you that's really become a sinful attitude, something sinful in your life, and then you'll begin to be willing and ready to say, God, create in me a clean heart. Forgive me, Father. I'm so sorry for this. Maybe you're beginning to pray, God, speak to me, and he's going to begin to say, hey, I want you to use your gifts and talents and serving kids, to be on the production team, to be on the host team, or wherever that is. I want you to lead a group. And you're like, but God, I don't pray out loud. I don't know enough. But if you'll be willing to say, God, what do you want to do in me? And then you'll be ready to step out and do it. See, God doesn't need you to have a degree. He doesn't need you to have it all together. He's looking for people who are ready to step out in faith and say, God, if you can use anything, use me. I'll do it, God. Even if people think I look crazy, even if it looks like I don't have enough or I don't know enough, even if I feel unqualified, God, if that's what you want me to do, let's go. Come on. Wherever you are today, why don't we just begin to pray? I believe God wants to speak to you right now. Maybe that's where you are today. You need to get in the habit of just being still before him. This is that moment to just close your eyes, block everything else out. Maybe you lift your hands to him just in a sign of surrender and reverence and say, God, speak to me. I'm listening. Lord, I thank you right now that you are always speaking to us. So God, I pray for each and every one right now, all my family, all my friends here, Lord God, at Church Online. God, I thank you for bringing us together. God, I thank you you're speaking to us. What do you want to say to us, God? God, we quiet ourselves. Help us, Lord, this week to shut out the distractions, to silence all the things that are shouting at us, that we would be able to be still in your presence. God, I thank you in your presence this week. You would renew joy. You would renew peace. You would renew purpose and strength. There would be refreshing in your presence, Lord God. I thank you for it. I thank you, God, that there would be renewed dreams, Lord God. You'd give us dreams this week. Those that have given up on their dreams, let them be rekindled in us. God, I pray that passion would return. Passion for your name, Jesus. Passion for your word. God, speak to us through your word. Help us to discern when people speak to us and when situations are happening, that what is you and what is not, Lord God. And I thank you for helping us to be ready and willing to follow the leading of your spirit. God, I thank you for giving us bold faith. Bet the farm, risk taking faith to be able to pray, God, speak to me. And I thank you for it this week. I want to pray for one other group. There are those of you, you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, that's good, but why would God speak to me? I don't really know him. If you're really honest, you don't have a real relationship with God the Father. You just know about God. You've been maybe even in church. You've got all the outward things, but if you were really honest inwardly, you're like, God who? Like, I thought he was just this guy. No, God is a loving Father who wants to be in relationship with you. That's why Jesus came, to make a way so that you could be in relationship. Because without Jesus, there's no way we could draw close to God. But Jesus came and died on a cross, and God raised him to life so that any single person, regardless of their past or their history or their failures or whatever, any person who would believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord would be saved. They would be brought out of darkness and brought into the family of God as a son, as a daughter of God. If that's you today, you've been running long enough, you've been trying to figure it out all on your own, and you're ready to come home and say, I give my life to you, God. If that's you today, whether you need to give him your life the first time or you just need to come back to him, you're saying, Pastor, will you pray for me? Just, if that's you, you can click to raise your hand in the chat, or you can type the name Jesus. But would you pray with me together as one family so that no one is praying out loud? Would you repeat after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Today, I make the decision to give you my life. I hold nothing back. You are Lord of my life. Thank you for bringing me into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. If you just prayed that prayer, then right then the Spirit of God came into you, and all the sin is gone, and you are made spiritually brand new. You belong to Jesus. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. So welcome to the family. And I'd love to have the opportunity to encourage you. I'd love to personally pray with you. Would you reach out to me, send me a direct message on whatever platform you're watching, or send me an email to info@victoryorlando.com. I love you so much, and I can't wait to see you again next week here at Church Online.